is the 20th of September 2015. Welcome to episode 41 of the Life of a Visual Storyteller podcast. My name is Roger Overall. I am a visual storyteller. I'm a photographer. I do films. I'm a cartoonist. What else do I do? Animations. Yes, I do those as well. Anyway, I'm based in Cork in Ireland. Welcome to the show. Thank you for the time. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I need to slow down. I sometimes rush my words and my thoughts get jumbled. Do you have that? Maybe not. Maybe you're of a calmer disposition than I am. Anyway, I'm just back from a spell of busy travel on assignment, and it's been great. I've been traveling around Ireland a lot, and I've been to the Czech Republic and one of the eastern provinces in the Czech Republic, and I've spent some time in Prague, all on assignment, all the kind of thing that when you hear this and you're listening to this now and it sounds massively aspirational. Well, yes, it is. I absolutely acknowledge that it sounds fantastic, and it is fantastic. They were both wonderful assignments to have, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. That's not my life constantly. My life is not constantly, if you're listening to this for the first time, my life is not a constant hopping into cars and going to beautiful houses in the wilds of Cork to photograph them, or hopping on aeroplanes to go to the major capitals of Europe to work with clients on films and what have you. No. That's not my life at all. Occasionally, that's my life. And occasionally, it's the kind of thing that I do, and it makes me feel so grateful to do what I do. But please, if you're new to the podcast, don't think that that's my life. Normally on the podcast, we talk about mundane things and the struggles of being a visual creative. So today I wanted to talk about outside validation for your work. And this is a topic that came up in the Czech Republic, in Prague, when I was talking to the client. Now, the client, very, very successful visual creatives, a design agency, very, very successful in their market, in their niche. And they have a very fulfilling life doing work that means an awful lot to them, and that allows them to express their creativity in an unfettered, unrestricted way. It's quite remarkable. Now, isn't that something amazing? If you're listening to that description of their business, surely like me, you're going, wow, that's the kind of life I want as a visual creative. To actually do what I want, to express my creativity in the way that I want to express it, with no restrictions from outside people on me. Wow. Yes, that is what we want. That is what we strive for, I think. So I had many conversations with the client, and they're highly intelligent, highly experienced as well. And we got talking about, well, do you need somebody else to say that your work is good? Think about that for a second. So do you need some kind of external validation that what you are doing, what you're creating, has any kind of merit, that it's beautiful, or that it's appealing, or that it touches an aesthetic chord with your audience, or that your audience welcomes it? Do you need that? Or should you be convinced of your own abilities, and that your work has value and merit, and that you are strong enough in your own right to say, no, I don't need anybody else to tell me that my work is good. My work is good. Interesting, isn't it? Because I think we all fluctuate. And I don't think there is necessarily a yes, no answer to this question. I think it's one of those situations where it's a scale. And the scale goes from, we only need our own validation that our work is good enough, to we need mass validation that our work is good enough. And I think that's the scale. And on that scale, we all sit at a point, and we probably all sit at a different point at different times. And I do think outside validation is very important. So I'm going to talk about the two ends of the spectrum, if you like. The first end of the spectrum is outside validation. And why is outside validation important? Well, I think it's important to have that feedback loop. I think we all crave some kind of positive feedback about our work. And that could be that somebody buys the work, or that somebody compliments the work, or that somebody gets in touch and says that your work has affected them somehow in a very positive way, or that they find it very appealing, whatever it is. I think we need that as creatives. And that kind of validation comes in two ways. Well, no, that's not true. It comes in more than two ways. But two ways that you as a creative can have that validation is, one, that people are buying what it is that you're creating. And if people are actually spending money, willing to reach into their wallet and give money to you for what you're doing, well, that's a very strong signal that your work is good. It's more than good, isn't it? I mean, people are spending their hard-earned money on what you are doing. Well, that's a great validation. And if we want to make our living from being creatives, then that's the validation we really seek. Fundamentally, we need that validation. If we want to make money and create a life for ourselves, bringing in revenue from our creative work, then that's the validation that I think means the most. Another sort of validation is awards. Now, that's an interesting, for me, it's been interesting to talk about awards this week, simply because I've been invited to be an external judge for the Irish Professional Photographers Association awards program. And I used to be a member of the Irish Professional Photographers Association, and I won quite a few awards during my time there. I wasn't a member for very long, but while I was a member, I actually picked up quite a few awards. And it's one of the things that I'm eternally grateful for the association for. Now, I should say that I left the association. I was even on the board of management when I left, because I found it a very frustrating association. So I have this kind of love-hate relationship with the IPPA. But let's just talk about the validation that came through its awards program that was very important to me, because when I won my first awards, it really gave me a lift. Now, I had Twitter exchanges with people, one person in particular, who kind of mocked me for enjoying and drawing benefit from receiving an award. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think typically, if you get an award for your work, it is a massive lift. It is a massive boost to your confidence. So I am a great believer that you should put your work forward for awards, because if you do win, there are benefits. Now, you might not win. That's also happened to me. That's also happened to me more than I have won, by the way. Don't think that I just would waltz in and say, here are my photographs, I'll take my award now, thank you very much. No, I lost more than I won, believe you me. So I think awards are very important and can have a very positive, affirmative effect. And also, I think there's something to aim for, because if you enter an awards program, an award scheme, and by the way, there are lots of open international, national award schemes that you can enter, that you don't need to be a member of an association. There are lots of creative visual awards that you are able to enter where you live, or international ones. And by doing so, you're matching yourself against other people. And I think that's a good thing as well, because it's pushing you. It pushes you. You're going to put your best work forward. You're also going to get an indication of where your work lies at the moment. Now, the danger is that you see all this fantastic work of other people and you don't sort of think that your work is up to par, because we're always the greatest critics of our own work. Well, that was interesting. I'm not sure if you heard that, but I've just installed iOS 9 on my iPhone and it's just made the most peculiar sound. Oh well, I wonder what that was all about. Anyway, moving on. So you do need to be aware that you're going to come up against the best of the best. And when you see people, well, not necessarily the best of the best, but you're going to come across people who might be better than you. And you will need to be able to handle that and put it in its right place and use it as a positive when you see the work of other people. Use it to spur you on if you think it's better. What you should not do is use it as a stick to beat yourself with. Because just because somebody's work in your eyes is better than yours doesn't actually mean it is better than yours. It's just that we're very harsh critics of our own work. But I do think it's good to put your work out there in that kind of arena and measure yourself against others. And if you win or if you place, it's a real boost to you. And I've also publicly stated that for me, I would like to win an Oscar in the next, I think I've said 10 years, an Oscar for an animated short. Now that's going to drive me. That's my goal. I might not attain it, but it's a goal and it helps drive me and it helps improve my work. So that's the, I think, the benefits of awards and validation from awards. I think it's also the benefit of when people buy your work. It's also nice when people compliment on your work, but that's an easy thing to do. I love your work. Oh, do you? Thank you so much. And you feel so great about it. But it's such an easy thing to say to people, isn't it? Oh, I love your work. Your work is brilliant. Especially if it's your mum or your family members or your wife. And I think in our own family, my wife has recently, there goes my phone again. It's making the oddest sound. I wish you could hear this. Anyway, my wife has recently made quite a lot of progress with her own writing. And I, for years, have been telling her that she's a really good writer. But my words don't mean as much as the words of somebody who doesn't know her on the outside. So we were talking about validation and how external validation of your work can be a real boost. However, let's just talk about the other end of the scale then, your own belief in your work. Because there are lots of examples, I think, of people whose work was not recognised. And if they hadn't believed in the work, it would never have been put out there. They wouldn't have continued and they wouldn't have been the success that they are. I'll give you an example. George Lucas, nobody wanted to touch Star Wars. Now, you may or may not like Star Wars. Let's just leave that to one side for a second. But as far as I know, he went around 14 studios before Fox agreed to make with him the first Star Wars film. Now, if he hadn't had a belief in his vision, if he hadn't had a belief in his film, then he could have let that feedback affect him and he could have said, well, that's it. I'm not going to make this film. And he would never have had the success that he's had. So it is important that you believe in yourself. But where does the balance, how do you manage the balance between believing in yourself with a solid foundation of that you should believe in yourself, that there is genuinely something in your work, and being utterly deluded that your work is any good? Those are the two things we need to balance, aren't they? And that's a tricky thing to balance, being just completely delusional about your work and actually having true belief in your work based on something genuine that, for whatever reason, outsiders can't see or can't see yet. Because, of course, those 14 studios that turned down, or production companies, or studios that turned down Star Wars, retrospectively, do you think they could see the merit in the film? Quite probably, yes. So it's a tricky one. I have no answers. I have no answers because I don't think there are any answers, because there are also loads of examples of people who have gone through their almost entire life struggling as artists. Van Gogh, for instance, the Dutch painter, went pretty much through his entire life struggling as a painter, and I think his brother helped him out and all the rest, kind of financially struggled and what have you. And then he killed himself. Did he kill himself? He did, didn't he? Or was it an accident? I can't remember. Anyway, which makes it sound as if I was there, but I wasn't. What am I trying to say? I've lost my train of thought now. Oh, yes. So after his death, suddenly his work has received this phenomenal acclaim. Equally, outside interpretation of your work, outside validation of your work, can also be too much. It can be over the top. One of the conversations we had in Prague in the Czech Republic. Now, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say by saying I haven't checked up on this. But we were talking about art and artists and earning a living. And one of the comments was made by somebody there, and this is the one I need to just preface by saying I haven't checked this, was saying that the work of the artist Damien Hirst is worth less now than when it first appeared. And that person who was talking about this was saying, well, his work was just overvalued. It was a bit hyped when it first came out, and now it's more reaching more its true value, which probably is still astronomically high, by the way. But you can see how outside validation can also undermine actually the value, the true value of your work. Now you can argue, well, it's only a moment in time. That's the moment in time that people are willing to pay that amount of money for your work or give your work that much acclaim. Because who knows, maybe in 100 years' time, people will think that Van Gogh was the biggest con artist ever, that his work was very simplistic, awful, and his value of his paintings are going to collapse. Unlikely, but it could happen. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today, is confuse you, because I probably have, about the complexity of your own relationship with your work and the relationship that others have with your work, and using whatever that is to your benefit so that you can continue to be a creative and that you can continue to work and produce your work. And fingers crossed, and I really do hope this for you, make a living from your creativity. At this point, I would normally say, and tomorrow we'll talk about the model, the business model of this very successful design agency, visual creative agency in Prague. And I do want to talk about that because we had a great conversation about business models, but I don't want to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to change the schedule of the podcast because I have so much going on at the moment. And if I want to stay in the game as a creative, I need to focus very much on creating content and using that to market myself to potential clients. You're not potential clients. You're my friends. You're the people who are also creatives. You're the community I want to reach out to and say, look, I have had this experience over the last, how long have I been a creative? 20 years, something like that. And these are the things that I've done and they've got me to here. Last thing I want to say, by the way, is say to you, these are the things you should do, because no, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your abilities. I don't know your talents. So all I can say is this is what I've done, and it's either worked or, more often than not, it hasn't worked. So that's what I want to do to for us, the community of creatives, is just give you my experiences and hope that you can take them and mold them and use them to your benefit, either by going, well, I'm not going to do what he did there because, quite frankly, that was silly, or, hey, that's an interesting thing that Roger tried and it did have some benefit to him, or that was an interesting idea, what can I do with that? So this isn't a guide to being a visual creative. It's experiences of being a visual creative, if you like. But I don't sell to you, and I need to make some money. So I need to concentrate on creating content and creating marketing material and reaching out to clients so that I can earn some money. And that's what I'm going to concentrate on more in the next while. This podcast will go to a weekly schedule. So next week, I will talk about this business model, this very successful business model of this agency. Without giving any commercial sensitivities away, I can talk very freely about the basic of their business model, which I think you'll find very interesting. And so there'll be a weekly cartoon, there'll be a weekly podcast. So I'm not abandoning this podcast because it's too much fun. But equally, I can't do a daily one. Or, well, look, I mean, I haven't really been podcasting at all over the last couple of weeks. So actually going to a weekly schedule, that's an improvement, isn't it? So thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, or if there's anything you want me to talk about, or if you want me to shut up, you can say that too. I'd probably suggest, though, that you stop listening. That's probably the better thing to do there. Anyway, I hope you're successful. I hope you're happy and keep creating. And I'll talk to you again next week. Oh, just as a little addendum before I go, I see a note here that I've made on the whole notion of having faith in your own work. So here's something that I think, and it ties into what we'll be talking about next week. You need to trust that you will find your audience. However, there is a risk associated with that, that the audience just isn't there, or if it is, that it is just too small to sustain you. Just an additional thought to sort of round out that topic. And also we will tie into that. You'll see, you'll hear next week. Take care of yourself. Welcome. Come in. Sit down. I'll be very honest with you. I'm not very sure anymore what to do with this part of the podcast, this hidden part of the podcast. It is all about being healthy and fit as a visual creative so that we're in peak condition to create. But I feel that I've been, well, not treading water, but just not adding very much value and just wasting your time in this particular part of the podcast. So I'm not sure what to do with it. I'll think about that. Maybe you can let me know. Maybe we should just abandon the secret room, the secret hidden part of the podcast. One thing, though, is that while I've been traveling, I found it very, very hard to do keep my exercise regime going. Now, that was a little bit of a problem when I was going around the beautiful houses in remote parts of Ireland and having lots of cooked breakfasts, because I felt, my God, I'm just piling on the weight, yes, because of all the calories. And in the Czech Republic, I wasn't able to run at all. I didn't bring my running gear even. Now, the thing, though, in the Czech Republic was I actually lost weight in the week that I was there, because I was so busy. It was so intense and so physically intense. I just noticed that I'd lost quite a bit of weight in the time that I was there. And I think it was because I was having relatively small breakfasts. Lunch, we would sometimes not have at all, because there'd be very small lunch because we were so, so, so busy. And also there was a lot of physical activity, lots of stairs to be climbed, lots of steps in Prague, the part I was in, very hilly, and a huge amount of steps. So I was just constantly active. And I think the combination of eating a little bit less and being a lot more active just helped me shed weight. I went down a belt notch on my belt while I was out there. So that was good. I've been back since Thursday. I'm recording this on Sunday. So yesterday, on Saturday, I went for my first run in a week, ran 12 and a half kilometers and did a really good pace as well. Very pleased with my 10 kilometer pace, certainly, because it was the first time, I think, that I've run a sub 1 hour 10 kilometers. And that's good, because I would ideally, if I do the Cork City Marathon in June next year, I'd like to run it in under 4 hours. It was what I wanted to do when I did New York, and I didn't manage that when I did New York because of an injury. So I'd like to do that when I run Cork. But it does mean that I've got a lot of work ahead of me to do that. What else can I talk to you about? Well, there's the whole barefoot running thing. I have become very interested in that. Not necessarily running barefoot, but running with minimalist shoes. And I thought it would just be a case of, do you know what? I'd just go and get some minimalist running shoes, you know, plimsolls, that sort of thing, and start running on those. Turns out that I'm 47 and I've had cushioned shoes for a long time, that my feet might not be properly operational anymore. The actual supporting structure in my feet may have become weakened through years and years and years of supportive footwear. So there is a chance that I'll just have to stop running and start running again from scratch, that I have to build up all these distances again. And I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, I've got myself to the point of being able to run 12 and a half kilometers, and I feel really good about that. In fact, I can probably run a little bit further. So the concept, the notion of having to start from scratch, from zero, in minimalist running gear, oh my goodness, it feels terrible. But I do have time. Time is on my side, and long term, it is very likely to benefit me. So I've got some thinking to do on that score. Minimalist footwear for running. Minimalist footwear anyway seems to be the way to go. Anyway, I hope you are looking after yourself, and I hope you are fit. Next week, I want to talk about cholesterol, because I found out something about cholesterol. I'm going to spend a little bit more time this week delving into the topic of cholesterol. If you are around about my age, you will know that cholesterol is the greatest evil ever. However, I found out that may not be the case. And I'm not talking about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. Because even good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, it seems, have two variations. So there is bad good cholesterol, and there is good bad cholesterol. And maybe cholesterol isn't the bad guy he's been made out to be. Have I whet your appetite for next week? I hope so. I need to do a little bit more research on this, just to find more supporting evidence of what I learnt this week. And it's another case of governments intervening and providing inaccurate health advice that has actually not benefited us, and in some cases made things worse. But like I say, don't hold me to this. It's just something that was highlighted to me during the week, and I want to find out more about it. So we'll talk about cholesterol next week, shall we? Okay, good. I will speak to you next week. Please join me next week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're fit. I hope you're healthy. And I hope you stay that way. Talk to you soon.